I'm going to ask you to open your Bible, if you would please, to 2 Timothy. And while you're turning there, we certainly want to wish all of our moms a happy Mother's Day. We're so thankful for you. We're thankful for the work of God in your life. We're thankful for the way that you nurture your own heart for the Lord, and that you are seeking to nurture your children's hearts for the Lord as well. You are a blessing, not only in your family, your individual family, you are a blessing to our church and to the church of God. You have a huge influence on your home. You have a huge influence on the church. You have a huge influence really on the world. Moms do. And so we just want to say thank you so much for your faithful ministry as a mom. We know that the busiest life on the earth is the life of a mom. And you are tirelessly serving in so many different aspects. From the time children are born until they grow up and they leave the home, you spend your life tirelessly serving. Out of love, out of desire to see your children grow, out of hope for them in the future. And we just want to say how thankful we are for you. And thank you for your influence in our life. And we as Bible Baptist Church, thank you for your influence in our church as well. We recognize today is a hard day for some. We know that some long to be moms and are still waiting for God's plan and that a part of their life. Some are moms that have lost children, or maybe some that have just recently lost children. For some, this is maybe for you the first Mother's Day that you have when you don't have a phone call to make, or you don't have a card to send, or you don't have a visit because over this past year your mom went to be with the Lord. And so this is a first for you this year as well. So we recognize those things, and we're thankful for the presence of God in our lives and the care and the nurturing of God for His children. And we pray that you know that today as well. So we thank you for your ministry to us. We do. Pastor Bob will say more about the things in the back. We hope you'll take advantage of those things here at the end of our service. Well, you're in 2 Timothy this morning. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where we're going to be. You know, Genesis 3 and verse 20 says this: "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Eve was the mother of all living people who have been and who will be. Her name is Eve. That means living. She was the first mother. She was the first woman to ever give birth to a child. And you wonder what she expected what happened during that time. I wonder if she knew what to expect when it came time for Cain to be born. She was the first one. No one had ever done this before. No one had ever gone through this. I wonder if she was afraid of motherhood. Again, no one had ever done that. I wonder if she knew what an important and influential opportunity being a mother is. Well, you know that Eve had three sons that are mentioned in the scripture: Cain, Abel, and Seth. Genesis 5 and verse 4 tells us that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters in their life together. But we focus on these three boys. These are named specifically in the scripture. And you know a little bit, if you know much about your Bible, you know a little bit about their life. You know that Cain had murdered Abel. So Eve's not only the first mother, But she's also one of the first parents to lose a child in death. I guess you might could say she lost two, because the other one just went away and wandered off in the lands. But then Genesis 4 in verse 25 and 26 tells us that it was through the line of Seth that people began to call upon the name of the Lord. That was the first mom, that first family. Well, then since the time of Eve, it has fallen to mothers to raise their children for the Lord. Our mothers bring us into the world. They nurture us. They provide for us. They raise us up. They teach us. And we heard a lot of the different things that mothers do in the song the ladies just sang, or what the choir sang to us about the life of a mom and how they nurture and how they guide and how they care and how they pray and how they hope and how they point us to the Lord. Mothers have a remarkable ability, really, to change the world. I don't think a Mother's Day goes by that I don't remember the words of that poet, William Ross Wallace, who that poem was first published in 1865, nearly 160 years ago. And he ended those three or four stanzas in that poem with the phrase, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And that's a true statement. There's a huge amount of influence that a mom has. Well, I've entitled the message this morning, "The Faith of a Godly Mother." And I want us to focus on the mothers in the life of Paul's son in the faith, Timothy. The Bible mentions both Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother. And I want you to notice what the scripture has to say here. Let's begin reading here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." We'll stop our reading there. If you know this chapter, you know that Paul goes on to make several exhortations and really challenging and commands that he's giving to Timothy in the remaining part of this chapter and then on through the book. God doesn't give us, as you could see there, a lot of information about these mothers, this mother and grandmother in Timothy's life. But what the Bible does give us, it does tell us a primary truth about godly moms. And it's this truth: every godly mother is a woman of faith. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. Many of our moms in this room today are moms of faith. And we thank the Lord for that. And you may not have a mom in this room today, but you may be able to reflect on your mom with thanksgiving to God that she was a woman of faith, and that she trusted God and that she pointed you to God. And you have much to be thankful for because of the influence of that godly mom in your life. I want you to notice three aspects about this faith that we're going to look at from this passage this morning. And let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us as we look at it. Our Father, today, thank you for this holiday that our nation has set aside annually to highlight the ministry of mom. We thank you for our mothers. We fully recognize and give praise to you that the whole institution of motherhood was something you created, that you designed that it was going to be part of your plan for humankind, and we thank you for that, and we thank you for the moms that we have represented here today. Thank you for their influence. Thank you for their influence not only in our individual families, but in our church family. And God, we do pray a special blessing for them today. We pray that each of them would be encouraged in their ministry as a mom today. And we pray for those that are struggling today, maybe for various reasons on this particular day. We pray that their lives might be filled with a real sense of your presence and your grace and help and hope that we have through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity we have now to look into this particular passage on the faith of these two ladies. God, we pray that you would help us. We pray that you would stir us by what we consider this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice three things that I mentioned. The first of all, a sincere faith. Godly moms have a sincere faith. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, but it didn't begin in you. It was first in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice." The Bible speaks of how Paul and Barnabas visited southern Galatia on their first missionary journey. You see that in Acts 13 and Acts 14 when they're making this journey into that particular part of the world. In one of those cities, a city by the name of Lystra, Paul and Barnabas come to this city, and while they're there, as they're ministering, they go into the synagogue, as would often be the case. When they go in, the people have gathered, and some of the folks stand up and say, "Do you have a word for us today?" And so they stood up, and they began to preach, and they began to rehearse a little bit of the history of the Jews. And then Paul began to preach to them the gospel of Jesus. And he's telling them that all that they had been looking for is found in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ. Well, then they go to Lystra. They were there at Antioch and Pisidia. Then they go to Lystra and Derbe. And while they're in Lystra, there's this man that's lame. He's been lame from birth. And Paul sees this man, and Paul encourages this man as he senses his faith, and Paul encourages this man to get up, to stand up, and to begin to walk. And he does, and when he does that, that just astounds the crowd. And they begin to seek to worship Paul and Barnabas, calling them gods. They're Jupiter and Mercury. They're calling them, and of course Paul rebukes them and tells them, "Don't. We're just like you. You know, we are not to be worshipped." And then Paul leaves. Paul comes back there, and he begins to just strengthen these people, and churches begin to get established there. Eventually, they at the end of that, the Jews get angry and they go after Paul with stones, and they begin to stone him, and they leave him for dead. He is okay. He leaves, and then he comes back to Lystra, and he's ministering there. So it appears that at some point, Paul, on this journey here, he makes acquaintance with this older woman and her daughter, with Lois and Eunice. And he's impressed with them, with the faith of these two women. And then, as I mentioned, Paul goes back. He and Silas go back through Lystra. And this time, when they go back through Lystra, they collect Timothy, Eunice's son, and they take Timothy now with them on their journey. And Timothy actually becomes one of the greatest men that God used to carry the gospel. Timothy served as Paul's representative, really, to several churches, and he was later a pastor there at the church of Ephesus. Paul also was mentioned as being, or Timothy was also mentioned as being with Paul when Paul wrote several of the New Testament books, when he wrote 2 Corinthians, when he wrote Philippians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Philemon. The Bible speaks of Timothy being with Paul. He was a constant companion with Paul during this time. So God used Timothy tremendously. And Paul claimed that this was all possible because of the unfeigned faith, he says, of Timothy's mother and his grandmother. Unfeigned, you say, what does that mean? Unfeigned means genuine. It means sincere. There was a sincere faith that these ladies had. It's a compound word. It's a word that we get our English word hypocrite from, but there's a prefix in front of it that negates that word. So you've got our English word hypocrite, and then you've got a word that says no in front of it. So no hypocrite or unhypocritical. That's what the word unfeigned means. It means completely genuine, unhypocritical, without pretense or deceit or anything like that. In a previous letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul wrote this. He said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of," same word, "a faith unfeigned," unhypocritical. And that's the faith of a godly mom. Praise the Lord, many of us in this room have had the privilege of growing up in that kind of an environment. The faith of a godly mom. It was a sincere faith, a genuine, unhypocritical faith in God. You say, well, what does that really mean? What is an unhypocritical faith? What does that really mean? Here's what it means. A mother that has an unfeigned faith, an unhypocritical faith and sincere faith, it just means simply this. There is a lot going on between them and God. There's a lot going on in the life of that mother and in her heart, in her relationship with God. She walks with God. She's not perfect. There aren't any perfect people. But she has a heart there. She has a focus there. She has a desire to walk with God and to please God with her own life. And she has another desire. Not only is she wanting to see that in her own life, she has, because of her sincere faith, she longs to see her children also walk in that faith. As a matter of fact, that is her greatest joy. And her greatest heartache is when children don't walk in that faith. That's the godly mom. That's the mom with unfeigned faith, with a sincere, with a genuine faith. There's a lot going on in her life between her and God. And there's a huge desire that she has that her own children would have a lot going on in their lives between them and God. That's her heart. It's a sincere faith. And they practice that and they work that out in so many of the little phrases that you heard sung in these songs that the choir and the ladies sang this morning. It's just this faith that's just working itself out in doing all of these different kinds of things. This is this mother's faith. She has a lot of confidence in God and a desire to see God work. And she wants to keep that faith. She wants to continue to watch over her household. And sometimes she's doing that in the midst of heartache. But that's what moms do. They have this unfeigned faith, and even though life they're seeing some heartache in their lives. A child isn't making good decisions. A child isn't walking with the Lord the way that they want them to. And a godly mom is grieved by that, certainly. But right in alongside that heartache, there's hope. Because of this unfeigned faith, there's hope. There's a prayer. There's a desire and to see change in the midst of that. And it's because of this unfeigned faith. She trusts that God is still working when it seems like things are going wrong. Or they're not going, but it's this unfeigned faith, this sincere faith, this unhypocritical. There's not a show in this faith. It is right in the deep recesses of her heart. And because of that, even in the midst of heartache, there's hope that's there. There's great, great, and we thank God for the faith of moms, a sincere faith. But then I also want you to notice it's not only a sincere faith. There is also, and I'm just going to use the word stable faith. Paul reflects on Timothy as having a sincere faith, but it was a faith that was like the faith that was in his mother and his grandmother. And I just want to emphasize that. He says this faith, this sincere faith, dwelt first in your grandmother and then in your mother. There's stability in that. There's stability there. And the reference to Lois and Eunice, again, it suggests that Paul knew these women personally. And perhaps he was instrumental alongside with Barnabas in leading them to Christ. We don't know that during that missionary journey. Paul certainly got acquainted with them. Maybe he led them to Christ. Maybe they already were believing people. I think it's likely that they already were believing people. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. By the time of Paul's second missionary journey, these women, or someone, had led this grandson and this son to faith in Christ. Maybe Paul was that person. We really don't know that. Paul does refer to Timothy as his son in the faith. Paul certainly nurtured and guided and influenced and mentored Timothy along the way. But he may not necessarily have been the one to bring him to Christ. It could have been this mother, grandmother. It could have been this mother there. The Bible tells us in Acts 16, on this second missionary journey, that Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So when they come and get Timothy, and they're taking Timothy with them, Timothy is probably a late teen, or he's in his early 20s. So he's a young man when he comes along, and Paul picks him up and begins to mentor and guide him and train him. And as I mentioned, God uses him tremendously there. So there's a faith there. There's a sincere faith. But then there's also this stable faith. And I want you to notice here that stable faith, even though Lois was a woman of great faith, she was able to pass that faith along. And Eunice is a woman of great faith. That Paul highlights that in both of these. And there's stability in that. You have to have this sincere faith, unfeigned, to help develop this stability. A stable faith. A stable faith is developed when there's just it's sincere. There is a great confidence in God. This is not some wishy-washy kind of thing. This is not something that we do for convenience. This is what is at the core of my being. And I believe this, and I am nurturing my heart based on these beliefs, and I am nurturing those around me based on these beliefs. And that can be passed on from one generation to another. That doesn't likely get passed on from one generation to another when there's a wishy-washy kind of faith. When it doesn't seem to be really real, it doesn't likely get passed on. But when it is an unfeigned faith, when it is unhypocritical, and it is a they're tinged from that to, because of this confidence in God, to develop stability in that. And a child who's able to grow up in that kind of environment is truly, truly blessed of the Lord. And I want you to notice just one thought. Can you just look back in Acts 16? Let's go to Acts 16 for just a minute. I want you to see something here. Even in the midst of this sincere faith that this mother and grandmother have, and this stable faith, I think it is of special note here that they had this faith, they had this stable faith, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. When you look at Acts 16, verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all of them that his father was a Greek. So Timothy's dad is likely an unbelieving person, but this his mother continues on with this sincere, unfeigned faith that created stability, even though she probably was not getting a lot of encouragement from her husband to train up her child in this way. But she continues on in that. And I think there's great impact there. So you've got this strong, stable faith that's passed on from one generation to the next. And underneath all of it is this unhypocritical, this sincere, sincere faith, this core belief that this woman holds. And again, I know many of us in this room, you have had the privilege of growing up in a home that way. And what a joy that is. What a great blessing it is that God allowed that in your life. And then I want you to notice finally here, this stirring faith. And this is a faith, and we're just pulling this from verse 6 here, when Paul says to Timothy, he gives him the first of several commands that he's giving him. And you see this faith that was in Lois and in Eunice is now born and spawned into the life of Timothy. And Paul says to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Timothy's mother, Timothy's grandmother taught him in the ways of the Lord. Matter of fact, if you take notes or put a note in your Bible, you may want to put 2 Timothy 3:15 if you don't already have that as a cross reference. And you remember that verse where Paul is writing there and he says of Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." There again, this is an emphasis on the faith of that grandmother and that mother, because from a child, this was Timothy's life. He was taught the ways of God. He was taught the Holy Scriptures from a child, is the text there. So Timothy had the privilege of being nurtured by a mother and a grandmother who taught him the Bible. Can you just stop and appreciate that? Again, I know I mentioned it several times, but some of you this morning, you are growing. You are young children today. You're teenagers. You're growing up in a home where your mother is nurturing your heart and teaching you the Bible. That is a great privilege. You have the privilege of growing up in a home where your mother is loving you, when your mother is teaching you, when your mother is disciplining you, when your mother is guiding you out of the foundation of the Scripture. That is a great privilege. Not everybody in the world has that. And I hope you'll take time today to thank your mom for the tireless efforts that she puts in and the great burden of her own heart to see you grow and be everything that God wants you, that God wants you to be. This was the life of Timothy. He grew up that way. And godly moms, you want to do that. And you are doing that, I know. You are wanting to see this in the life of your children. You're nurturing them. It's your great heart. And I want to just encourage all of our moms to make sure that's what we are doing, that we are spending time teaching our children about God. I remember, and some of you may remember if you've been here a while, several years ago, this was before Dr. Ken Hay went to be with the Lord. Several years ago, he came here, and I asked him to come and just do a little family conference. And the whole title of that conference was, Who is Teaching Your Children About God? That was the title of the conference. And it was really, really stirring, and he was just really bringing home the importance of our children learning about God in our homes. And that is the primary place where they are being nurtured and they are being taught the ways of God. By example and by exhortation, they are being encouraged and taught and the way of the Lord. And that's what we want. We want to teach our children the Scripture. We want to teach them the songs of Jesus, right? Our children ought to be singing about Jesus before they are singing Disney, right? They ought to be singing about God. They ought to be singing about Jesus in the home. And that's what we do. Moms, encouraged by their dads, that's what we do. In godly homes, we want to see our children engaged and growing in the Lord from day to day. What is very sobering to any parent, including a mom, is that we can't change, moms cannot change the hearts of their children. Only God can do that. And God only does that as that individual is being taught and is comes to a point where they are reaching out to God. They understand now I'm hopeless apart from God. And so they cry out to God. God saves them and God draws them, saves them and grows them in their life. And so though moms or dads, we can't change the hearts of our children, we can create a home and an atmosphere that is fertile ground for the Spirit of God to work and nurture in the lives of our children. And we want to be doing that. And I want to also note from our passage here, when you think about it, Eunice here, Timothy's mother, was willing to give up her son. As I mentioned, when he leaves, he's probably in his late teens or early 20s when he leaves. And he's going on this journey with this man who no doubt mom would have remembered earlier when he was here. These people stoned him and left him for dead, and yet she's sending her son with this man. And they're going on in their service for the Lord. She's willing to do that. Again, this just speaks to her unhypocritical faith, this sincere, this stable faith. And you want to just train every mom. Not every godly mom's son is going to be a preacher or a missionary like Timothy was. But you're training your children to go out into whatever walk of life it is and be faithful in their service to the Lord. And that son, that daughter will, just what the choir sang to us, just what Jason read to us out of Proverbs, that son or daughter growing in a home like that will rise up and call mom blessed. He will speak of the faith of that mother in his years growing up that really challenged him and really nurtured him. And he didn't understand all of that. She didn't really get it, all of that, what all was going on there until she grew up. And maybe she became a mom or he became a dad. And then he began to recognize the influence of that in our lives. Well, it's those kinds of children here that are stirred into faith by the actions that they see in the home. And so Paul tells Timothy here that he's sure Timothy's inherited faith that he got when he came to faith in Christ was going to allow him to just fan the flames of the gift that God had worked in him for God's glory. And so he's telling him, stir up that. And that stirring really is predicated by the faith of this mother and this grandmother. So praise God for the faith of a godly mom. And I believe that was the life of Timothy here. You know, just in conclusion, there are many godly men of the past that have been richly blessed by what they learned from their mothers. You have some biblical examples. You see that one year we looked at the life of Moses' mom. We've looked at Samuel's mom. We look today at Timothy's mom and the maternal influence that was experienced by these spiritual leaders bore great, great fruit down the road. And then you think of others. You think of Augustine. You think of John Newton, that we sing so much of his songs, Amazing Grace. And you think of those zealous Wesley brothers, of John and Charles Wesley, and the influence there. If it hadn't been for the life of these moms, we probably wouldn't know those people's names today. But because of their great influence, God used them tremendously.